We all, as nurses, as physicians, as social workers, we have to deal with the consequences of what those decisions at a higher level are. And we ought to be at the table helping to make some of those decisions. And the easiest way to do that is by empowering our patients, empowering ourselves to vote.
Welcome to See You Now Insights. I'm Rebecca McEnroy. What's the connection between voting and health? It turns out, everything. In this insight from episode 55, Ready to Vote, nurse leader Elizabeth Cohen, ER physician Alistair Martin, and strategist Alia Bhatia explain why voting is a critical lever for improving public health.
We really see a connection between voting and health. There was a recent public health review article about everything that's been published in public health recently by an investigator named Brown. And I think they put it really well when they said voting affects health as it shapes who's in power and the policy that's made, and individual health can affect voting. And what they showed with this review was that not only does obviously voting dictate who's in power and who's in power dictate our policies and our approaches and some of the levers of the health of the nation, like reimbursement and how health and insurance coverage is distributed, but they actually were able to draw a connection in this review between the agency of individuals in voting and their own agency in improving their own health. And obviously, there's a lot more to it of the socioeconomic drivers behind it, but they were able to really show that it's really reciprocal, that voting affects the health of people and that the health of people is actually improved by voting. And a lot of that is driven by the policies and who's in power. So it's really a larger societal issue, thinking about what we need as a society to be healthy as individuals, as communities, and in the policy realm. But I think that we're starting to see now, practically and also in the academic literature, that relationship be more defined.
The reality is that when we think about what constitutes good health in this country, 80% of the factors that contribute to someone actually being physically healthy in this country have nothing to do with what happens for that patient in the hospital or in the clinic or in the community health center. And it has everything to do with where that person lives, the kind of education they have access to, the kind of food and diet they have access to. And we collectively refer to this 80%, right, as the social determinants of health. And we are trying so hard with this very small piece of the pie, this 20%, which is clinical medicine, to make people healthy. And the bottom line is it's not really possible. We are a repair shop. As nurses and as physicians, patients come to us with ailments, and we try and repair the thing that's broken, and we send them back on their way, back to a broken system, back to a broken home, back to a food desert. And so we can't begin to contend with the true health of our patients unless we begin to contend with these social terms of health. And my argument, and the growing civic health movement makes, is that you can't address the social determinants of health without going upstream and grappling with the political determinants of health, the structural elements, the policy, the socio-political context, the economic situation that patients live in. And the only way to affect that, the first step, is to help patients vote and have a seat at the table in terms of helping to shape some of those policies.
I'm looking at this as a patient. I'm not a healthcare provider. So that's the perspective that I might bring on the access to care piece. There's several barriers. There's a few at Nurses Who Vote and Vote ER that we particularly address. And the parallel that I see and experience more from a patient perspective and not as a healthcare provider is just the level of arbitrariness around that. And there's ways in which the system that we have ideally could change, get more comprehensive, predictable, direct. But there's also ways in which people like healthcare providers in particular can address some of those things. And the two that I want to lift up, there is a huge gravity of omission right now in how we do voting. We don't have people asking people about registering to vote per that 62% who say that they have never been asked about the question. And our healthcare spaces are a really innovative place to make sure that at the same time that you're asked, you know, do you smoke? Do you drink? Are you registered to vote? We already asked these hard questions. I take it seriously when my healthcare provider asks me those questions and I have to pick between some sliding scale of how I'm doing on that metric. The second innovative way that we can help address that arbitrariness is ultimately that arbitrariness wears away at our trust, wears away at our trust in the system. And when we think about who are the types of novel messengers we need to talk with us about democracy and our vote, we need people who we actually believe in and view as people who are trusted messengers. And nurses have been the most trusted profession in America for the last 19 years. Doctors and pharmacists had a significant boost in their trust over the last year. And those are the types of voices that we need to hear about questions about voting from. Trust is a really fascinating element of our democracy. In order for democracy to exist, we need to be able to pull out someone who isn't doing their work. We need to be able to have a healthy level of distrust in the people who are leading our institutions. But in order to have that distrust of the person, you have to have trust that the system can replace them. And that's where the trust has deeply frayed. How do we make sure there is a time every year where we celebrate this link between health and voting? And that's August, Civic Health Month. And it's a really wonderful time for organizations ranging from the American Nurses Association to the American Academy of Pediatrics to hundreds of hospitals to take at least one action where they're supporting staff, patients, to make sure that they're ready to vote and registered to vote. And the reason August is an annual event, and we often forget this, but every year there are innumerable elections around the country. And those are the elections impacting things like, do I have groceries in my neighborhood? Are the parks where I live safe? Can I get access to good jobs? Those local elections are dictating where a lot of those resources flow. And so the annual Civic Health Month is an important reminder of that to all of the different people who are within our ecosystem.
That was strategist Alia Bhatia, ER physician Alistair Martin, and nurse leader Elizabeth Cohen. From See You Now, episode 55, Ready to Vote? To hear the full conversation and explore more than 100 stories of nurse-led innovation, subscribe to See You Now wherever you get your podcasts. For See You Now, I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Thanks for listening, and happy Civic Health Month.